you hear the word millennial, what immediately comes to mind? Right now, during God's Feast of Tabernacles, that word should hopefully invoke thoughts of peace, utopia, restoration, joy, God's government on earth. But for the rest of the world, especially at this time, millennial has a much different meaning. It's a generational label. Millennials are identified as anyone born from the early 1980s all the way to the year 2000, although there's no real specific age range. But unlike other generations, such as the Greatest Generation, Baby Boomers, or Generation X, millennials carry a much more negative connotation. Just the word alone now causes older generations to roll their eyes, and not without reason. I want to read to you a few excerpts from this 2013 Time magazine article entitled Millennials, the Me Generation, and it gives a statistical background of this particular generation. It says, the incidence of narcissistic personality disorder is nearly three times as high for people in their 20s as for the generation that's now 65 or older, according to the National Institutes of Health. 58% more college students scored higher on a narcissism scale in 2009 than in 1982. Millennials got so many participation trophies growing up that a recent study showed that 40% believe they should be promoted every 2 years regardless of performance. They are fame-obsessed. Three times as many middle school girls want to grow up to be a personal assistant to a famous person as want to be a senator, according to a 2007 survey. Four times as many would pick the assistant job over CEO of a major corporation. They're so convinced of their own greatness that the National Study of Youth and Religion found the guiding morality of 60% of millennials in any situation is that they'll just be able to feel what is right. Scores on tests of empathy fell sharply starting in 2000, likely because of both a lack of face-to-face time and higher degrees of narcissism. Not only do millennials lack the kind of empathy that allows them to feel concern for others, but they also have trouble even intellectually understanding others' points of view. That's quite scary. Now, I know growing up within this generation and my personal experiences of dealing with these so-called millennials, these statistics don't seem like they're that far off. So I want to take time today to show how this world's millennials will differ from what I'll call the true millennials who will live during Christ's millennial reign. Now, we're quite obviously in the last days of this age, and we know things are going to get worse before they get better. Everyone here has printed copies, right? You take the original document, and you scan it, and then copies are made from that original. And as long as you keep making copies from the original, everything should be okay. But if you take that copy and then use that to make more copies, the quality just isn't quite as good. And then if you continue making copies of copies, it just keeps getting worse and worse. You know, as man reproduces himself without having a spiritual foundation, it's inevitable that each subsequent generation is going to be worse than the previous one. God tells us exactly how man will be during the end times in 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 1. So if you go ahead and turn with me there, 2 Timothy 3. And we'll start in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You know, the parallels between that Time magazine article and the scripture is stunning. And narcissism is running rampant, with social media serving as one of the most glaring manifestations of this behavior. I get to work with a lot of young people, and they're constantly taking pictures of themselves and putting it on social media. And the whole reason behind it is because they want the attention. They want to have other people look at them. You know, how many likes do I get on Facebook? How many people follow me on Instagram? How many retweets did I get on Twitter? They're boasters, proud, lovers of their own selves. And people are puffing themselves up to show how great they are so that others can covet what they're led to believe they're missing out on. And narcissism usually leads to entitlement. About a month ago, I interviewed a young man for a coaching position. And he showed me some videos on his Instagram account of him training athletes. And he made sure to point out his large following on Instagram, and that was really important to him. Even though he was still raw as a coach, the videos were impressive, and he did well enough in his interview that we decided to make him an offer. But that offer wasn't good enough for him. You see, he thought he was worth a much larger salary because he was Insta-famous on Instagram. You know, this is an individual with limited experience, no certifications, no college education, but because of his following on Instagram, he felt he deserved to be paid like a superstar. There was this sense of entitlement without really earning anything. He felt he deserved special treatment or privileges because he saw himself as special because of his popularity on social media. The emphasis was on self. Look at how great I am. Now, in Ezekiel 20:17, you don't need to turn there, but that's the same attitude that corrupted Satan. It said, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. Being the prince of the power of the air, is there any surprise that this seems to be the prevailing attitude of this generation? An inward attitude that is definitely not limited to just millennials. It's just that as each generation passes, these traits become more and more pronounced. Now, this latest batch of young people have grown up in a technology-based society that makes it easier than ever before to be influenced by Satan. The generation that was raised by television has now given birth to a generation raised by the internet. The near universal access via desktop computer, tablets, or mobile devices to mind-shaping content is unprecedented. Is there any doubt that Satan uses tools such as YouTube, Twitter, or Netflix to corrupt young, impressionable minds, especially if left unsupervised? In order for things to change, the entire system must be wiped clean. When Jesus Christ returns, this system, this society, Satan's world, will come to an end. The things that influence human behavior, like television shows, celebrities, schools, social media, will be gone. Satan will be gone. The true millennial generation that will live during Christ's 1,000-year reign will be in stark contrast to this world's counterfeit. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 17. Jeremiah 3:17. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. True millennials aren't going to do what they feel is right. God tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's Jeremiah 17:9. You don't need to turn there, but you can put that in your notes. That's why many of this world's millennials think they're doing right by following their heart, but their heart is evil. All the technological distractions, pressures to conform to a society going in the wrong direction, the influence of Satan, true millennials won't have to deal with those things. They'll live under the government of God, a pure government, without corruption, hidden agendas, built on the foundation of Christ. They will live in a kingdom where truth and sincerity reign supreme, where the love of God and neighbor are the societal norms, not aberrations. And they will have the God family, us, to teach and guide them every step of the way. And most importantly, they'll have God's Spirit put in them. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 36, starting in verse 26, we'll see a complete about face and attitude. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. God is going to change mankind's heart. He's going to put his spirit into them, which is absolutely vital for learning his way. We'll be teaching people who have open minds without the influence of Satan in the world he had built. Such efforts at this time would be completely in vain. And we've all had experiences where our unconverted family or friends or coworkers have asked us about our beliefs. I've been asked by folks all my life about that were genuinely curious. And I would explain to them the basics about the Sabbath, the holy days, unclean meats, pagan holidays, and so on. And you know, every now and then, some of them would agree that, yes, the Sabbath is on Saturday, or, yeah, Christmas has pagan origins. And it would trigger a moment of pause within them, where it seemed like maybe the veil that had been covering their eyes for their entire lives was lifted just a bit. But as soon as our conversation was over, that veil would come crashing down past their eyes once again. Such conversations would never spark further intrigue or interest. It's going to require the Spirit of God being placed within everyone for that to happen. And these true millennials will have that. What joy will it be to have these conversations and for people to finally believe what Christ says, not just in his existence. For people to actually listen and understand and do. It won't be in one ear and out the other. They will walk in God's statutes, keep his judgments, and do them. Just imagine, brethren, people finally being able to get it. It's going to be so rewarding to be able to teach God's way of life. So in conclusion, God is going to place his Holy Spirit, his own nature of outgoing love and concern for others within mankind. People will then love God and their fellow men and strive to make them happy. The me millennial generation of this world will be long forgotten, replaced by the true millennials who will be taught the way of give. This is what will make the millennium the wonderful world of tomorrow, the utopian paradise pictured by the Feast of Tabernacles.